Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Oh, thank you for listening to the JT and Looney podcast. We love doing it. And we're powered by Bet Online, your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season. Baseball, golf, soccer, all the top fights and boxing and UFC. Oh, but you smell that? Oh, that is the smell of NFL football in the air. And steroids and growth hormone and pot. Wow. NFL's just less than 60 days away, and BetOnline should be your number one source for all the NFL betting. Every stat, every matchup, even live odds, spreads while the game is being played. And how about this? When the game's over, head over to their online casino, get in on a game of blackjack or poker. Can you hear this air conditioning behind me? It's certainly annoying me. I hope you can't hear it. Head to the website today, betonline.ag. Oh, and I forgot to mention this. Use the promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V. Use that promo code and get 50% free bet credit on your first deposit up to $250. Bet Online. The game starts here. And now the podcast starts right here.
Welcome to the JT and Looney podcast. The summer series continues. 2024, what does that mean? Well, we do less podcasts in the summer, but always there, Tom, to reach out to our dedicated audience. And remember, you're dedicated if you subscribe and share. If you just click on, you're not dedicated. We need you to subscribe and share so we can bring you new content and fresh content. How are you, my friend?
New and fresh content. And there will, you know, we will be, of course, in-depth team coverage of the NFL once the NFL gets going. And that's a weekly podcast from September through Super Bowl Sunday, which I believe is on February 18th, coming up in 2024. I'll check that.
Well, when you don't make the playoffs as a football team, it's a long off season, man. It's 8 months. People don't get this. I live it. Got to get the Raiders going here, but you don't make the playoffs. Your season ends around New Year's Day, and it doesn't start off until September, unless you want to count July and August at training camp, where I'll be by you in sunny but cooler Costa Mesa, California, because we are hot. We went the all-time hottest day ever in Vegas history was 117, and that was like for 30 years. We went to 120. We didn't go to 118, 119. We never touched 118, 19. Went to 120. It was 124 in Palm Springs. As we record this podcast on Tuesday, July 9th in the afternoon, and it's currently 1:15
here in
Vegas. And 1:15 feels like 1:15, where 100 feels like
there's no wind chill factor going on there.
And it's midway through the afternoon, and the high of the day is going to be 2 hours from now at 1:17. That's what's crazy about this shit. It gets hotter as you approach 5 o'clock in the evening. 6 o'clock is that pavement. It's been soaking in the sun all day. Yep. And that's how they
take it. And the physical fitness obsessives got to be careful. You know, there's the guy that I think we talked about this in the last podcast, but it doesn't matter. We're talking about it now. The guy, the fasting doctor who realized, you know, did all the science and research behind fasting, disappeared in Greece because he decided he needed to get steps in during a heat wave. And also a Los Angeles sheriff, the same part of of Greece went missing during the same time. So we have to remember, sometimes when you're dying of heat exhaustion, you don't feel like, you don't even feel thirsty. And so you got to be careful and try not to do the same exercises outside when it's above 90 degrees. I know it's surprising that people have to be told that, but I'm one of the guys that has to be told that as well.
In the old days of radio, they used to have PSAs, public service announcements, yes. TV and radio, but we don't do that now. We have a new platforms like podcasts. But let me get one in here. My dog, you have a portrait of a dog behind mm-hmm. you.
Yes.
You take her for a walk every day. My dog is laying right next to me. When you live in this weather, you have to take your dogs out at 6, 7 in the morning. So if you want to sleep in, everybody wants to sleep in. You can't, because you have to think of someone else, one of your other loved ones, your dog. Treat it like a human being. If you got to get your kid to school by 7:30, you get your ass up, you get your kid to school. If you got to walk your dog before 7 or 8, you get your ass up and you walk your dog so your dog can have a life and be outside with their friends at a time where it's not 110 degrees.
And you got to remember this too. They're in their bare feet and they have fur coats.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to be careful how hot the ground is. And the fur coat thing is obvious when it is this hot. And you're right. I have to take the husky out either early. And I designed my entire life. I haven't talked about this very often. You know, I've never had a wallet. And I've designed my entire life after high school, after never having to get up early, unless it's a job that involves being the center of attention. And I've done very well so far. With the exception of, since I got a husky with a fur coat, when it's hot, you got to get up early and take that dog for a walk.
Well, I just got back from Vancouver, British Columbia. I got my Rolling Stones concert shirt on, went and saw Mick, Keith, and your buddy Ronnie Wood. Went up to see him in Vancouver and had one of the best trips I've had in a long time. We got out of the 115. I missed the 120 by a little bit. We went up there. It was cool. There was a breeze. There wasn't one cloud in the sky. The 4 days, we didn't see one cloud. And it was one of the most beautiful cities I've ever seen. More condos than any place I've ever seen other than Manhattan. Everything you see is a downtown condo looking into the water. We got on the boat in the water to look back at the city. Went and saw the Rolling Stones. Ran into Moj, one of my favorite sports talk hosts in Vancouver. He gave me a tour of the city. And met some new friends and had a great time, man. I want to just say this. Thanks to Canada, our Canadian brothers to the north. And God, what was I thinking not going up to that city? I mean, why? I lived on the West Coast longer than I've lived on the East Coast. I can't believe I haven't been to Vancouver more, Tom. It's incredible.
I'm so glad you were turned on to it. I believe our friend Yadahuda, Smokey Gifford, lives in Vancouver. Did you see Smokey when you were there?
I did not, and I apologize for that.
You were there a short time, but one thing you mentioned there is making new friends. Never stop making new friends as you age. Don't stop making new friends. As you know, if you and I named our 10 best friends, we would not do it because we were, we'd leave out number 11. Number 11 might be insulted. We've been friends, guys. When we first met at Jerry's Deli for lunch before we started doing a show together. And we both found out we had the same friends since first grade. Oh, I knew I could trust you. Build friendships, and it opens up a new compartment of love in your heart anytime you make new friends. So it's great. I hear you made new friends. It's great making new friends with your old friends that you went to Vancouver with. And it's great exposing yourself to new countries and new cities.
I want to give a plug to my buddy Dave, who's a diehard Raider fan, whose father and uncle owned an establishment called the Penthouse. And we went to the Penthouse. Moj recommended it.
I like this story.
In downtown Vancouver. And it's a legendary gentleman's club, strip club, but it's a lot more than that. So it's a strip club on the lower level. And then they have a lounge on the second level. And then on the third level, they have a VIP lounge where there was a jazz band. And Dave set up a smoking lounge for us. So we had cigars and he put out beautiful bottle service. And the other couple I went with, and Moj and my wife, and we were up there and just telling stories. And this guy, Dave, tells me, he goes, the history of this place, this is where the African-American performers in the 40s, we're talking before Sinatra, the 40s and the 50s, they weren't allowed to stay in hotels. So they would stay in homes. And Sammy Davis Jr. stayed at the top of the Penthouse. And Dave looks at me and he goes, would your wife and you like to see Sammy Davis's room where he slept?
I said, oh my God.
we go up these rickety stairs and we come into this room where Sammy Davis Jr., after he performed in Vancouver, which he did a lot, would come to the penthouse and stay and get a meal and shower and spend. And we're talking Nat King Cole. We're talking Harry Belafonte, Sinatra, Sting. The list goes on and on of all these icons who stayed there. So it was really cool to be in a famous, famous place. They're also known for their marquee. Their marquee, just Google the penthouse in Vancouver, and they have all these funny sayings up there that they always change. But the piece of real estate where this thing's on, Tom, is worth – I don't know how the guy still has it. He should just sell it. Everybody wants to develop a high-rise or a condo on it. But that was a cool part of it. And then we went to the Stones and had a great time at the Stone show because Mick and Keith played and they sounded so good. And I felt like Keith was saying goodbye. You know, when I said goodbye to Jim Brown, I looked him in the eyes because I knew I'd see him again.
I don't know if you said it on the air or off the air, but you did tell me when you saw him, you knew it was going to be the last time you saw him.
And I felt that way. And I hope Keith Richards lives another 20 years, but I felt like he was saying goodbye to Canada or Vancouver, because when the Stones play a city at this age, not only are they not coming back to play the city, they're going to take a summer off. Then they're going to go take a year off and then go on a tour the following year and start in Europe and then get to the States and maybe get to Vancouver. It was really cool locking eyes with him as he was waving to the fans of Vancouver. Really deep trip. It was a life-changing trip up there in Vancouver. I can't wait to go back.
And it's another one of those lessons about doing what you love, and you'll live a long time even if you smoke cigarettes. Mm-hmm. Right, and you don't always follow all the rules of diet and exercise and things that prolong your life. But one of the things that really prolongs your life, and when you roll out of bed and you're excited to play the guitar, and you're actually getting paid for it. And at that age, when your parents do it, it's amazing. Your parents take the red eye to save money, and not, you know, who cares about saving money? I'd want to get some extra sleep, you know, if I was your parents' age. But no, and same thing with the Rolling Stones. They don't have to tour, but Mick went to the London School of Economics, and they like to keep that. He probably sits down and explains how the money works to Ron and Keith and everyone else in the band. And Mick also, you know, was also more sober than the rest of the guys, and more sober than his reputation over the years. The son of a gym teacher. And yeah. I think it's always obvious when you watch Mick Jagger, when you find out he's the son of the gym teacher, it totally makes sense.
Well, my wife and I are at the Stones show, and they're wrapping it up, and it's the last shows, and they open up the show with Start Me Up. They kind of end it with a little medley, and they include that. And when the lights come up, and you see people from all ages, right? So you see people in their 80s.
Right.
Oh. And we saw, my wife got a really good video early in the show when they came out. There's a little kid, probably 3 years old, on his dad's shoulders with the headsets on to keep the noise reduction.
Right.
And you're saying, oh, God, there's people here from their 80s all the way down to 3 years old and dancing around. We were in the – usually we either go really up close. You always have good seats for the Stones. We're probably about three quarters back on the floor. So they have the lower pit, the pit that's close to the stage, which I've been in double-digit times. And this one, I wanted to be back a little bit as Mick always comes up the catwalk and you can see him. And we were just there. We were just dancing, having fun, drinking, partying, and just really cool. And then you come out, because what's cool about this stadium, BC Place, where the BC Lions play in the CFL,
because
they had an open roof. So they have a kind of a tented roof, and it opens so you can see the sky. And as you know, being in Canada, being that far north, the sun was out. So the show started and the sun was still out on the outside. So that was kind of cool, too. And I went to Liverpool. It was the same thing when I saw him there.
Well, I will tell you this. One of the great, great things, you know, we don't often with the news, it's gloom and doom a lot of times. But there's so many things that are first. There's never been less war than there is right now in the world. It's never been more at peace. Every baby born is born within 10 miles. Mm-hmm. Of a smallpox vaccine and all the, you know, baby vaccines that babies need anywhere in the world within 10 miles. There's so much good news going on in the world, but there's no good news channel. And another thing is, when we were growing up, several generations, you know, there's always things that divide generations. Your kid has a nose ring. Teenagers didn't come home when we were kids and say, Mom, Dad, I think I'm bisexual. And they're like 15, right? We didn't talk about sex with our parents. All that stuff that we're adjusting to with generations and sagging pants or whatever it is, that the clothes and music divided the generations. Music doesn't divide the generations as much. So there are some white parents that have issues with rap and gangster rap and the language. But when it comes to rock and roll, it's really amazing. I was walking down the street the other day, and there was somebody with playing The Who in their 20s playing The Who, Tommy, which is 1975.
Right.
And I looked up and I said, well, when I in the 70s and 80s, we weren't playing Chattanooga Choo Choo. We didn't have music from 20. Yes, there we have No Bananas. We didn't have music from the 20s and 30s and 40s playing in our car. We thought it was Square, Big Band and Swing and Mel Torme. But all of a sudden, there's generations of children who are accepting the music their parents are listening to, liking the music their parents are listening to, liking Queen and the Beatles and the Rolling Stones, along with their parents, sharing similar music tastes. And that is a sea change in society. A good one.
Yeah, for sure. One other thing about Vancouver, I always like to get on the water and look back at the city, do that at the Amalfi Coast. In Italy, do it in New York. You go to the Statue of Liberty, you can look back. Right. They got a great ferry, the Staten Island Ferry. I just get on it. It doesn't stop at the Statue of Liberty. It goes to Staten Island. I just get on it to see Manhattan. I always make it a must. It's great. We were on the water here on a boat called the Constitution. It's an older boat, and we were going around, and right next to us, I'm talking less than 100 yards, seaplanes were landing and taking off. Like a beautiful, like a four-seat, small seaplane, you know, taking off right in front of you and then buzzing over the boat. And you're like looking back at the city and just looking at the beauty and how majestic it was. And, you know, not to bring it down, but I spent a lot of time in Seattle. And we got a lot of listeners in Vancouver. I'm just saying this talking to the listeners that I hung out with. I forgot how long you and I were on the radio in Vancouver because we were always on the radio in Seattle on KJR. And a lot of people in Vancouver listen to Seattle radio and vice versa. So we got a following up there that I'm really proud of. We worked a long time building a base up there and the fans and the listeners and just everybody who remembers us. I was really proud of that when we were up there. But I'm just happy to be in a city because you see a lot of the social media of Seattle and the homelessness and the crime. Right. And Portland has fell into a gutter. And I'm sure there's good parts of Portland. I'm sure there are. Then you look at some of the Oakland. Oakland's really upside down now. And again, it's not being graphic. It is. And then you see Vancouver and you're like, holy shit. How come our country can't look like that? Now, I wasn't in the areas where people were shooting heroin, probably, and other places that I'm sure they had some homelessness there.
That's a great question. I was thinking, when I go out and I do cardio, and I walk or I hike or I run, I don't take any media. I know nothing in my ears. I like to hear the birds. I like to hear the city.
That's right.
And one of the things I was thinking, and I've talked to people about, is what's wrong with us. You know, if you need any type of medicine, certain types of medicine in some other countries, you go to the pharmacy and you get, when you go to Mexico, how come everyone's not hopped up on steroids and drug and painkillers? We can't be trusted with painkillers and steroids in America, or we'd all be walking around on opioids. And what is our, we have so many behavioral issues that I don't get. When I was in Europe, something you I'm sure noticed too, we're riding on a train, I believe from Pompeii back to, it doesn't matter, but some bunch of kids get on, school gets out. Well, in America, if school gets out and 30 kids get on a train or a bus, you're pretty uncomfortable. It was beautiful. They were so well behaved, hugging and kissing each other goodbye. We're so aggressive. We have substance issues. We have school shootings. And we need to take a look in the mirror and ask ourselves the question that you're asking every once in a while without being told you're being a hater about your own country. No, I want to improve myself, so I look in the mirror. We want to improve our country, so we look in the mirror. And every once in a while, we need to say, what's wrong?
Now, ever since we spoke last, Biden had a terrible debate, terrible on all accounts. It was just awful. And I leaned to the right and I caught all of Trump's lies Right. He lies all the time. I grew up with Trump, so I'm not here to get into politics, but we're going to give our opinions more on the election coming up. Why wouldn't we? You've got guys who are figure skaters and, you know, Joe Rogan, who calls MMA, can talk politics and this and that. We can. Doing this longer than all of them. So, you know, I don't like either one of the candidates at all. I don't like either one of them, but I lean more to the right. So Biden had a terrible performance, and a lot of that has to do with his age. He's just getting super old. There is definitely
80 to 90 is quite a fucking trek. You should see the difference in the picture of my mother from 80 to 90.
And again, I got a dad who's 86, who's a lot sharper than Biden. Right. My dad still does tax returns that are complex. So it's fact, not fiction, that my dad, who's older, is a lot sharper than Biden. But Biden leads the free world, and I respect him as the president. I respect all of our presidents. I say this again. I've never woken up one day in my life where I cared or cared who the president was. I never decided to make more money, less money. I never woke up depressed. I'm not going to work.
We're on the same page. We never considered them our Valentine and got emotionally involved with them.
I've never seen more people than right now. In July of 2024, so fucking triggered on any election. Now, they've been triggered on all elections.
Right.
Going back to Reagan and going back before that, we used to have world wars, right, where we had generals like Dwight D. Eisenhower. We had Roosevelt. We had Reagan, Bush, Clinton, Obama. You don't hear me rip on any of them. I respect the presidency. I want our presidency to win. I want our presidents to do well for my 401k, my real estate, my kids' safety and all that. But holy cow, did he have a bad debate. So what I'm fascinated about now from a media perspective is how the left journalist or the left-leaning journalist are now abandoning Biden. So once you lose Jake Tapper, he's doing segments on what the rest of the Democrats are looking to do or bailing, that kind of got my attention here. That would be like Sean Hannity, who I don't like at all. I respect his radio career. We worked in the same radio company, but his polarizing politics are so polarizing. That would be like him turning on Trump and saying, look, I think he needs a cognitive test. Something's going wrong with him. Then you know that something's going on. So I just wanted to get with you on where we're at as a country now with media and politics, because there's no debate that many on the left who are in media want Biden out all of a sudden. They didn't want him out 6 months ago. They didn't want him out 9 months ago. They didn't really criticize his presidency because he's done some good things in the presidency, other things I don't like. But isn't it fascinating now to watch Joy Reid melt down or John Carl from ABC News melt down? And now all of a sudden everybody is awoke because of that bad performance by the president.
Well, and we're wondering how much we were withheld from us. You know, sometimes it is amazing when you said your dad does tax returns. Well, Biden can't do tax returns, but he does know complex Middle Eastern stuff. But the way he's speaking and expressing himself, whether or not we're right, because we are not cognitive doctors, the perception is there. It's too late. And they, you know, people are saying, these aren't the two candidates I want. Well, if the Democrats get a different candidate, is that what you really want? Well, we will find out. And you got to be careful, too, about Kamala Harris is no dummy. Dummies don't make it to the vice presidency. I remember when people said Dan Quayle was a dummy and Tip O'Neill was on Larry King, and Larry King said, is Dan Quayle a dummy? And Tip O'Neill said, dummies don't make it to the United States Senate. And so she, you know, you saw her cross.
I'm going to push back on that for a second. Here's why. And I talked about this with a friend the other day. Mm-hmm. Kamala only got 1% of the vote in the Democratic presidential primary in the state where she was from. So follow me here. Mm-hmm. If she would have got 40%, if Gavin Newsom ran for president out of California in the primary, he'd get 40 to 50%. Fact, right? Mm-hmm. He's a governor. Enough people like him there. I'm not a fan, but he would get that. There should be a rule, Republicans and Democrats, if you're running for the presidency in your state and you don't get more than 1%, you can't be right outside the door of becoming the president.
Oh, that's happened. That's happened 20 times, JT, when somebody.
I don't think it has.
Yeah. Biden ran for president two other times and did terrible when he ran in the 80s and early 90s.
No, but you're missing.
Bob Dole ran for president in 1980 and couldn't crack 2% in New Hampshire. John McCain, go all the way back where people had.
You're missing my point. Talking about her in California, where she's from. That's where she's running.
Okay. So that by the way, that doesn't matter. I'm saying she's no dummy. And I'm saying don't underestimate her. You saw her cross-examine Jeff Sessions. You saw her cross-examine Kavanaugh. She's no, if Trump doesn't want to be on the same stage getting cross-examined by President Harris if Biden resigns.
Yeah, I think you missed my point there. It would be like Biden running for office in Delaware and getting 1%. And then all of a sudden he's right on the doorstep because he's able to jump in and become the president because he was vice president. I think you have to have a track record of at least a more of a populist track record in the state.
Lincoln, the Lincoln-Douglas debates, Abraham Lincoln was considered the winner of those debates, but he lost. That was a Senate race. And the Republicans said that guy that lost for the Senate should be our candidate for president. He's pretty amazing. He got elected president. And couldn't even get elected to the Senate.
Well, I don't think I'm making this. I think the number in the recent presidential cycle that Kamala Harris was a part of in California, her performance would have been, and I think I'm right, I could be wrong, please correct us, would be the worst performance in a home state in the history of someone who was elected president. Kamala Harris would have never been elected president.
Well, remember, by the time the California primary came around as well, she dropped out. So dropped out of it. But none of that, you know, stars are born sometimes by accident and they're underestimated. And I think that he will resign and we will have incumbent President Harris taking on President Trump, which will be pretty amazing. And I don't think Trump will debate her. But if he does, watch out. You know, we've seen her abilities before in that department, cross-examining the place of a former DA. Who wants to debate a former DA? And they can try to paint her as liberal as she wants, but if you're in a DA, you're showing people in jail all day. DAs aren't usually squishy liberals. But they'll do a good job at painting her as that.
Yeah, I don't think she has any chance.
Oh, interesting.
To become president unless Biden steps down during his next presidency. So if Biden, because Democrats vote more than Republicans.
I'm talking about him stepping down next week.
Yeah, if he stepped down next week, I think at the convention, there'd be a push to get Newsom in play. And even though I don't think Newsom, because I lived in California, you live in California, I think he's really, really hurt California in a lot of instances, but he's very popular. He's very good looking. He's very popular. If you put him on the ticket.
He's the smartest guy in the room.
But what's fascinating,
he's the best politician, doesn't mean he's the best for America. But I do like, and we've been lucky. We've had a lot of guys. I like when the president's the smartest guy in the room. John F. Kennedy was the smartest guy in the room. Lyndon Johnson was the smartest politician in the room. Nixon was the smartest guy in the room, and he had a chip on his shoulder because he had to go to Whittier College and couldn't go to Harvard because he was poor. George H.W. Bush at times was the smartest guy in the room. Clinton was the smartest guy in the room. Obama was the smartest guy in the room. So we were lucky when Republicans or Democrats for most of our life that we had presidents with the smartest guy in the room. And there are people, you know, people who don't do their homework like to push back and say smart isn't important, but smart's important.
Just like I'm a Republican and I didn't think that Dan Quayle deserved to be president or would have been on steroids with Kamala. But we both have so much respect for women. We do. And two powerful women now who are now working behind the scenes. You want to talk about a West Wing documentary. Kamala Harris versus Jill Biden. Biden will not give up power, man.
Oh, man.
She is a complete, not charge of the world and the presidency, but she is calling the shots. You can't meet with Joe. You maybe can meet with Joe. Hunter, you come in the room to oversee. You don't come in. She is powerful right now. And
do you remember in Breaking Bad, there was the guy that had the stroke in the wheelchair with the bell. That was President Woodrow Wilson. And for 2 years, they hit him. And Mrs. Wilson, Edith Wilson, was running the fucking country. And so we don't have the guy in the bell like President Wilson with Biden. We might not be, might be close. Whew.
I don't like either one of these candidates. That's not, that's very honest. I'm very honest on this podcast. I don't like either one of the candidates at all, at all. One of them's going to be president, but you bring in a new wrinkle where you're not talking about Biden versus Trump. You're talking about another avenue, another path that could happen. If that happens, I got my popcorn ready. That's point.
I've already got my popcorn ready because I've always, well, you and I are similar in this way too. A couple of things. First of all, with politics, it's about debating the issues in the town square. And I've always said this, you know, you want our tax money to buy more aircraft carriers, and I want to build more bike paths. And then we laugh about that. Who says you're right? Who says I'm right? Get another Modelo out of the refrigerator. And that's the way politics should always be discussed. You know, my mom and Mrs. Malinowski used to walk down to Elmira Free Academy where Ernie Davis played football. And do every 4 years and have people sign in and work the elections, you know, and then they walk home together. And that's the way, you know, politics should be discussed. But it's really how we want to spend our tax money. It's not who wants to ruin the country. That's a bunch of bullshit. The country is doing fine, whether no matter who's president. Our economy has been amazing. We set records. Every holiday, we just set records in the past 8 days, saying 7 out of the last 8 days for the most people traveling in the country, saying they can't afford anything. And everyone's flying to Rome.
And I don't think that has anything to do with who's the president. Everyone's going to get on the airplane.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. I agree, because the first 3 years under Trump and the last 3 years under Biden, the economy's been amazing. How about no president like Belgium?
And you know me, I believe we can spur the economy by building Apache helicopters and big. Yeah. Big warships. I think if everybody, right, like Rosie, if everybody just went to a factory and built aircraft carriers.
And I think everyone will stand for the national anthem if we have free health care, lots of bike paths.
Well, one of the things that I'm trying to figure out with this podcast that we've been doing for a while, for me, it's a legacy play. I don't know. Maybe 100 years from now, people will look at this podcast and go, wow, it was so fucking good. Why didn't we know it at the time? I really believe that. So that's why I bring this up. So I want to kind of throw a little bit of election talk in for those who didn't press pause or turn us off.
Right.
For those who threw, we're going to do what we want to do here, but we appreciate everybody tuning in. I will tell you, we talked about the Vegas Heat. I talked about Vancouver. We talked politics. You got your Netflix account back. Hallelujah. Thank God. This was a really big issue. Tell us quickly, because the clock is ticking. How'd you get your Netflix back and how long were you without it?
Oh, I just was I was without it because there were too many, you know, I'm streaming too many things, and I'm always trying to see where I'm wasting so much. And I caught up on a lot of great stuff. I got up on a lot of great stuff by not having Netflix for a while. I was on my nephew's account, so I was being cheap. And then, you know, Netflix kind of figured out that tomfoolery. So I'm back on it. And I'm watching.
How would we have figured a guy named Tom Looney would have been figured out by Netflix that he didn't have his own account and he was kind of grubbing the prison guard.
I know.
Grubbing off his nephew's account. Ooh, I didn't know that about you. I'm surprised by that.
Well, yeah, because it was also because I think I was being lazy. And so he just gave it to me. And I'm letting someone grub off my, I'm letting him grub off my, my Prime. You know, and I just ran, you know, sometimes you just run into a movie that you never heard of that nobody went to at the theater. And it's incredible. And, you know, the Kamala Harris, you know, nobody voted for, but she might be incredible.
Yeah, that should be the title of this podcast. No one ever voted for Kamala Harris, and she might be the president in 2 weeks, let alone 2 months.
Yes.
Before the convention. That should be the greatest title of this podcast.
And somewhere Gerald Ford will be saying, yeah, that could happen. Just before I go, comedy drama about a guy who he wants to commit suicide. I know that doesn't sound like a comedy, but Ted Morgan, down on his luck, and every man, he doesn't have much to offer anymore, but before doing himself, and he travels to his hometown to tie up a few loose ends. and maybe to get back at the high school bully and the teacher that was awful to him. But, you know, sometimes, and then he goes back and there's some lessons to be learned. And it's very, very good. And I'm watching Your Honor, which I know you saw both seasons of Your Honor.
Yeah, I watched both. I loved it. I loved Your Honor starring Bryan Cranston. And the lead character, the gangster, was named Jimmy Baxter. That's the name of my best friend, who's the best man in my wedding. Jimmy Baxter, but the key to that is it's probably the best show that I've seen ever that does a deep dive into New Orleans, which is one of my favorite cities. I've been to the Lower Ninth Ward. I've been to those elegant restaurants and hotels off of Bourbon Street. I've gone crazy on Bourbon Street. So I know that area well, and it was nice to see that. I thought they did a great job. And Bryan Cranston is just brilliant. I mean, everything he does, everything he consumes and does and puts out, I watch. So I really like that.
Well, by the way, I'm thinking we could probably get him because one of the things he's lived in Los Angeles when he was, you know, when he wasn't in New Mexico making one of the greatest TV shows of all time or in New Orleans. He's a big sports talk radio listener.
Yes.
And sometimes we forget that famous people listen to the radio too. And so I know because he goes on with friends of mine in Los Angeles locally because he's a sports talk radio guy. So I'm wondering if we could get him. OJ, I know this is another one that's been out there, but, you know, there's a lot of stuff to watch. Now, OJ Made in America, I think it was the ESPN special, wasn't it, at one time? OJ Made in America. Nevertheless, it's on Netflix now. And oh, my God. Did you? I think it's a 5-part series. I'm in.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It was brilliant.
It's so fair when they start out and they, you know, they remind people of his long career and his upbringing, the background, a lot of stuff you didn't know. And, you know, the CEO of Hertz spending a lot of time sitting, which is one of his good friends, who was very disappointed. Everybody was heartbroken over this guy that they loved, you know, having part of their childhood ripped away. When this happened. So I'm 4 out of 5 episodes in, man, that's good. It's good to have Netflix back.
If any of our viewers or listeners took the over, 2-3 years ago on Looney's OJ references, if you took the over, you cashed the ticket years ago. OJ.
Oh my God, I know.
I'm the guy who lived blocks away from OJ here in Vegas before he died. And OJ was cutting through every parking lot and golf course that I was cutting through. But yeah, that is incredible. I'm watching House of the Dragon. Again, the dragons have me. Mm-hmm. Game of Thrones, life changed. It's like going to a movie. It's like going to a movie every Sunday. Now my sons and I, we go watch. My wife's on it too. We watch House of Dragon. It's a movie. Whatever they've done, it's a movie every week. The amount of unique storylines, what they do, AI, everything, digital effects. It's incredible. You got to invest in it. You got to watch Game of Thrones, which takes a long time if you didn't. House of Dragons is a prequel. You got to get into that. But just to see these dragons fighting in midair, down is a war going on, and there's castles, and there's gorgeous ports of entry and just fantastic acting. And I recommend it to everybody. I can't wait.
I think what they need to do with the CGI is make them a little dirtier. There's no, you never see anyone taking a shower or a bath, but they're clean. How are they getting so fucking clean?
And last one.
It's called an anachronism. Every once in a while I pick up on that and go, hey, he's so fresh and clean. She's so fresh and clean. Where are these bathrooms? Where are these showers?
Well, they do take a lot of baths. You have the maidens who pour the water in the bathtub, and there's like 6 of them. So the queen is always clean because she has everyone scrubbing every part of her body.
Some of the other people shouldn't be so clean.
And I can't believe I'm going to end the podcast by saying this. You know that no one on God's green earth has watched every 60 minutes other than me. I've watched it. My dad got me into it as a kid. I watched 60 minutes my whole life. F you 60 minutes for being on vacation. How dare you? How dare you have 12 correspondents? Bill Whitaker, legendary newsman, Scott Pelley, Nora O'Donnell. She doesn't take off from the news. She does the CBS Evening News with Nora O'Donnell, the way Dan Rather used to. A guy by the name of Anderson Cooper, who's on every fucking night on CNN doing the news, and CBS 60 Minutes goes on vacation in the summer, and they come back, and Leslie Stahl says, well, as we told you last year, and they give you a Ukraine, a Holocaust story, which is great. I want to hear history, or an AI story or something on a robot. and they can't get most of these elderly people back in studio saying, hey, Biden did a speech. He crashed and burned. Anderson Cooper, you were live on CNN during it. Can you come in for 20 minutes of the 60 minutes with commercials and all that and do like a segment where we'll show clips and we'll interview two or three people, one from the left and right, and 60 minutes goes on vacation for the summer, like Jimmy Kimmel goes on vacation for the summer, but beats the hell out of Trump, beats him into submission year round. But now that Biden has a bad night, he's on vacation with Howard Stern in Italy, and Anderson Cooper can't put on the suit and tie and do 12 minutes on the debate on 60 Minutes, the most important news magazine show in the history of America. Put that in the promo. No one's talking about that other than us on the JT and Looney podcast.
Thank you for listening to all 37 minutes and 37 seconds of the JT and Looney podcast, powered by our friends at Bet Online and Modelo. Thanks, Jerry.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Michelle Beadle. That's right, the Michelle Beadle. You're welcome. You love talking about sports. I love talking about sports. You know the only thing cooler than talking about sports? Sports! And right now, all your favorite sports are on SiriusXM. I'm talking every NFL game, every game from the NBA, NHL, MLB, every NASCAR race, golf major, major conference college sports, and all the top games in the WNBA. If it gets your heart pumping, it's on SiriusXM. To start your free trial of SiriusXM today, visit SiriusXM.com/believe.